One of the best folk and serious artists is painter David P. Stevens, whose work in vibrant colors will remind you of the legendary Joe Norris, yet has its own signature character and form. David was also co-founder of the important annual Nova Scotia Folk Art Festival. I'm Paul Kellogg. David P. Stevens is our upcoming guest co-host on the Blue Nose Opera House radio show. David Stevens, they're playing our song. Am I supposed to say David P. Stevens?
David P., that's correct, yes.
You use that all the time?
Don't leave the P out, no.
Really?
Yeah.
P it is. How appropriate. This is the Blue Nose Opera House. I'm Paul Kellogg. With only one P, keep it straight. CBC rules say, not that we follow them because we're not on CBC, but you should identify your guest, which we've done, but also their credentials. We won't run down all of them, but you are a very well-known, beloved artist. And it's not easy having an artist on radio because, not like television, you can't show their work. And I don't know if there's anything else I should put next to your name.
There's some words you could put next to them, but that's fine.
No letters.
That'll do for now.
All right.
No.
While you get comfy and warm up the seat, we're going to have some music, and this is something I brought in, Ron Hines, and When I'm Over You.
When I'm over you, and life's renewed, when all these gray skies turn to blue, they say that time's a healer. We'll see if that's true when I'm over you. So now it's come to this. Not one goodbye or one last kiss. Now is the night ahead. Lying alone in this lonely bed, hard to believe this is true. Here's hoping I get through and I'll be over you. When life's renewed, when all these gray skies turn, say that time's a healer, we'll see if that's true when I'm over you. Love you'll ever know is the one that was always supposed to go. Those were the best of times. Why is the best love so unkind? Hard to forsake these blues. I'll stay broken and I'll stay bruised till I'm over you.
That's our beloved Ron Hines. Not to take anything away from him, but he writes so well. And that particular song, I could also hear Roy Orbison doing. It just has that sound. And Ron Hines is
The Man of a Thousand Songs.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you see the video, the documentary?
Yeah.
Just amazing. Yeah,
fantastic.
And I'm so glad that he's recouped from his health challenges because they were serious. Ron Hynes, where were you born, David P. Stevens?
Sydney, Cape Breton Island, Nova Scotia, November 15th, 1955.
Oh, you're a youngster.
Yeah.
So tell us about your family, your early family.
Oh, wow.
Artistic?
In some ways, yeah.
In what ways?
My mother was a model when she was very young.
So your siblings got the looks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, not me. No.
Your dad?
My dad, long story, my dad worked in the lumber business because his grandfather started the lumber business, J.W. Stevens Limited.
Uh-huh.
And then his father worked in the business, and then my father worked in the business. But then my father left, and he and my mother opened a coin shop, and they were numismatists and stamp collectors and sellers and so on. And they ended up being an agent for Alec Storm when he found the Chameau treasure.
Oh, wow.
And I grew up basically then with the Chameau treasure in our basement for 1 year before it was even brought out to the public that the treasure was found.
So, tell us what that treasure means for those who don't know.
The Chameau was a French pay ship which sunk in the 1700s off of the fortress of Louisbourg, and it was on its way from France. The governor was on board as well, and it was going to Louisbourg, and then it was on its way from there to Quebec City. And, of course, it wrecked, it foundered off of Louisbourg in a storm and went down with all of the booty on board, so to speak, because it was the pay ship, so...
So that, yeah, that was in the period when France, it was going back and forth between France and England, but exactly. France was building Louisbourg as a way to counter the British influence elsewhere in the
exactly.
province. And they were just sending, they were running out of money almost because it was so expensive for them to build that amazing fortress.
Yeah.
How did your family get involved in that connection?
Well, Alec Storm, the ship went down in a storm.
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point in time, the French government sent a diver to look for the wreck, and it was a man by the name of Tempest who located the wreck, but he couldn't bring the booty up, so
and
to speak.
This is what year?
This was in the late 1700s again.
Okay.
And so nobody had discovered it after that. And then Alec Storm found it. So it went down in a storm, and it was located by a tempest, and it was brought back up by a storm.
By a storm?
Yeah.
And what year was that?
1963, 64.
This is almost like Oak Island, the way it goes on and on.
Yeah, exactly.
And then how did your parents get involved?
Well, my father knew Alec Storm, and Alec went to my father and said, we found the treasure, and we need an agent. We need somebody to identify what's there and to let us know what we have, and then to sell the... what they found, right? So,
do you have any old coins hanging around?
No, none whatsoever, no. No, but my parents did take, when it went to auction, it went to Park Bernay Galleries in New York, and they carried it on board, every bit of it. And my mother wore the jewelry, and off they went. Flew to New York.
So. What a story.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's a surprise. You like Gordy Sampson, of course, a lot of people do.
Yeah.
He's a prolific songwriter. Very talented. And the song Davy Jones almost ties into that story you just gave us.
It does, definitely. Yeah, in a big way. Yeah, and it ties in, of course, here to Lunenburg. And it was one reason why I chose that song. And my own association with the sea, having been in the Navy for a while. I was in the MOP for a little while. And then I worked for the Department of National Defense as a Marine rigger. So, you know, I have this fascination and love for the sea. And I've met Davy Jones many times in the past, and I won't go into that in any depth, but yeah, this beautiful song.
I am a simple man. I've learned to work with my hands out here on these waves. Sha-la-la-la-la. I guess I've always known that I would die alone here on a cold November day. Sha la 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 la. And I heard that you did take my brother in the morning, another without warning. Sha la 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 la. And who am I to think that I'd be any different
as God is my witness. I saw Davy Jones underneath the water with a thousand of my fathers calling me home. I saw Davy Jones waving his black flag and counting up his bones. They say when I was five, the day I cast my first line, I fell over the port side, sha-la-la-la. And as I was sinking down, I heard my mother singing, I heard the church bells ringing, sha-la-la-la. And when they pulled me in, I felt him tugging my hand. I saw Davy Jones underneath the water with a thousand of my fathers calling me home, yeah. I saw Davy Jones waving his black flag, counting up his bones. Have snapped the mast, I'm taking water so fast, I let go of the lines. And I can feel my father's stare from beyond the grave somewhere as I fail him one last time. 'Cause I would never be the man he thought I should be, the lesser of his sons. So Jesus, help me now, and help me to forgive him before the darkness floods in. I saw Davy Jones underneath the water with a thousand of my fathers calling me home. I saw Davy Jones waving his black flag, counting up his bones. Yeah, and I saw Davy Jones waving his black flag, counting up his
bones. That's Gordy Sampson and Davy Jones. You're going to get us out of here. See how fast the segment moves?
From Sydney to Halifax to Bridgewater, from atop radio towers, transmitters, and repeaters to your receiver, this is the Blue Nose Opera House Radio Network.
Blue Nose Opera House, David P. Stevens, artist, folk artist, well-known and loved. We're going to talk about your work later on, but I can't get into the music without your telling us, you kind of left a hook there, of your meeting Davy Jones several times. How did that happen?
Very difficult for me to even get into that, really. Metaphorically, in a lot of ways, I met him.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritually, I met him a lot of ways. Time that I spent in the Navy, just being out there adrift, and when you're in 40, 60-foot waves, yeah, and you don't know what, you know, is going to happen next. It kind of plays on your mind when you're out there for day after day after day, so...
And I guess that's also the setting for when you get inspired by a mermaid.
Exactly, yeah, which I've also met several mermaids, too.
Yeah. I don't know if we'll get into that.
All of the mermaid paintings that I've done are authentic. Those mermaids actually exist.
Cassie and Maggie McDonald sent us a new CD called Sterling Road, and it's fabulous. It has one song on it it has one tune on it that is really two parts. One is Wedding Day Jig, written by Natalie McMaster. The other is by Cassie McDonald, she wrote, and it's called Hurricane Jane. great. Cassie and Maggie McDonald, their fabulous new CD, Sterling Road. We're going to have them on the program in a couple of weeks. Looking forward to that. Interesting when you're telling us stories, but let's go back to your being a kid and tell us a bit more about...
I'm still a kid. Yeah,
many of us are. About siblings. Do you have any?
Yeah. I'm the middle of three boys.
Three boys. No girls.
And we were trouble from day one.
Hellraisers, were you?
Yeah.
Getting into trouble?
Yeah.
Am I sitting here with another John Dunsworth?
Seems that, yeah.
And what are they into nowadays?
Older brother.
As grown-up kids.
He owns the Yellow Cello Cafe in beautiful downtown Bedeck.
That's why you did the shirt logo that
exactly.
I have.
Exactly, yeah.
You told me years ago that you did it, but I didn't know your brother owns that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Son of a gun, small world.
And it's for sale, too, if you'd like to buy it.
No.
Yeah.
Your money, my looks.
Yeah.
No, the other way around. And your other brother?
My other brother lives in Cole Harbor.
Yeah.
And he does a lot of deals in real estate and so on, different things that he gets his finger into now and then and finds his way through them. So.
Licensed agent?
No. He does a lot of wheel and deal and things in business related that are, he finds his way through it. And
In school, what kind of influences did you have?
Oh, wow.
Any teachers that still stand out in your mind that all of a sudden you're coming around the bend in your car and you think of a certain teacher and what they gave you or how they guided you?
Absolutely not.
No?
No. Most of my teachers were a negative influence on me.
Okay.
But some that ended up being a positive afterwards. But
So you in school didn't exactly
didn't
get
work
along.
At all. Not one bit. I loved school. I loved the subjects and everything. I loved to study. But I was not. I was told in grade 12 by the principal that I may as well quit school because my brother did. And that was it. So I quit.
What a shame. Were your parents kind of angling or guiding you to go in a certain direction or have a real job with a paycheck on Friday? Or I know you've done a number of things, but when did you know, when did you have an idea that the artistic thing was going to be it, that you would take it seriously?
That happened in school. That happened as a result of an incident that happened at school.
Which was?
In grade six.
Which was?
Long story, but to make it as short as possible, was the principal of the school, who happened to be my homeroom teacher, he knew that I was interested in art, and he always gave me a hard time about that because he would say, you're not an artist, you're in the lumber business, which he felt that's where I would have to go because that's where my father was, my grandfather, and my great-grandfather. Mm-hmm. So he would throw erasers at me and chalk at me and so on in an effort to try to drill math into my head. And the only way I could sort of console myself with that was that he was throwing at me the tools of art, a piece of chalk to draw with and an eraser to erase things with. And then one day there was an arts festival that was to take place and we were allowed to enter three pieces and he told me I was only allowed to enter one. So I said, I'm going to fix you. Mm-hmm. And I went home and I took my piece of Bristol board and I did 99 paintings on the Bristol board. It was an art gallery scene. And the 100th painting was the painting itself. So it was titled 100 Paintings. And I was very sarcastic. And so what happened was the day that the pieces were being exhibited, he was walking around judging the pieces and he saw mine and he said, who did this? And when he saw my name, he said, Stevens, he said, you're not an artist, you're in the lumber business. And he ripped this off the wall, tore it into 1,000 pieces and threw it at me. So I was despondent and, of course, walked home. And on the way home, I had an art teacher that I would see after school. Mm. And I went in to see her, and she was like Maude Lewis is who she looked like. Mm-hmm. And she knew something was wrong, and she knew my history with this man. So she opened the door, and it wasn't my day to take a lesson, but she opened the door, and she said, come in, and let's make art together.
It's amazing that when he was throwing the erasers and chalk at you, he didn't throw a T-square or a circular saw back at him.
Exactly, yeah.
Tom Paxton has some meaning for you, and Jennifer's Rabbit, and Behold, I Give You the Morning.
Yeah.
What does that mean to you?
A lot of meaning for me. I love Tom Paxton. I love his work. Ed McCurdy introduced me to Tom Paxton back in 1980. And that song, the first song, Jennifer's Rabbit, means a lot to me because I used to sing that to my daughter Bella every night when she'd go to bed. And even to this day, I'll sing it to her, but I replaced Jennifer with Bella. And the other song, of course, about his wife, is something that has meaning to me with my wife, Kathy Boudreaux. And so the first song is about putting a child to bed and allowing her to, you know, forget about the day and just go to sleep and rest. But the next song is about waking your partner or your spouse, whatever that may be, whoever that may be, and giving them the day. Behold, I give you the morning, I give you the day. And what a more wonderful gift we could give to our partners.
Jennifer slept in her little bed with dreams of a rabbit in her little head. Jennifer's rabbit, brown and white, left the house and ran away one night, along with a turtle and a kangaroo and 17 monkeys from the city zoo. And Jennifer, too. They ran through the forest and they all held hands. They came to the ocean with the cookie crumb sands, called it the sea of the very best dreams, and they all built a castle of the best moonbeams and Milky Way streams. And there on the sands where the starfish play, the ship sailed in from the Moonbeam Bay. They all went sailing on the starlight sea, where they all had cookies with oolong tea. And Jenny had three. They danced on the decks of the red sail brig, the monkeys and the sailors did a whirling jig. Turtle played the fiddle and the rabbit played kazoo, and they bowed to each other as polite folks do. And Jenny bowed too. Then, my, said the turtle, as the clock struck three, the hour is growing very late for me. Not at all, said the rabbit, and I tell you why, we still haven't counted every star in the sky. Said Jenny, let's try. So they counted on the ship, and they counted on the shore. They counted through the forest to the bedroom door. They counted in bed till they could count no more. Then they all fell asleep, and the final score was 1,000,000,004. Yes, the rabbit and the turtle and the kangaroo, and Jenny fell asleep as sleepy folks do, just like you. Ever again the morning creeps across your shoulder, through the frosted window pane the sun grows bolder. Your hair flows down your pillow, you're still sleeping. I think I'll wake you now and hold you, tell you again the things I told you. Behold, I give you the morning, I give you the day. The waving curtain wall, the sun is streaming. Far behind your flickering eyelids, you're still dreaming. You're dreaming of the good times and you're smiling. I think I'll wake you now and hold you, tell you again the things I told you. Behold, I give you the morning, I give you the day. Close beneath our windowsill, the earth is humming. Like an eager Christmas child, the day is coming. Listen to the morning song, it's singing. Sunlight streams across your eyes through open shutters. Now I think you're ready for the journey. I think I'll wake you now and hold you, tell you again the things I told you. give you the morning, I give you the day. Behold, I give you the morning, I give you the day.
One of the great early folk icons, Tom Paxton.
Beaming out our signals through Glace Bay, Dartmouth, Liverpool, this is your weekly specialty radio show heard on the Blue Nose Opera House Radio Network.
Blue Nose Opera House, David P. Stevens, beloved artist, our guest today. You get CDs in the mail. Two came in from Campbell and Green, just east of Dartmouth, where they have house concerts right in their facility. Campbell happens to be Robert, and Green happens to be Kalen. And one of their CDs, they've worked with Jamie Gaddy, who does a lot of work with the Barry McNeils, Adam Dowling, and Jamie Robinson. He, years ago, when they lived on the West Coast, worked with Susan Jacks. So let's give a listen to this song by Campbell and Green called Life is a Beautiful Thing.
Sometimes life feels like sticks and stones and bruises raining down on me. Sometimes I can't find a way through my confusion, a crazy place to be. But it doesn't matter, no matter what's the matter, when I remember you love me. Life is a beautiful thing.
Write their own music too. Campbell and Green, Life is a Beautiful Thing. David Stevens, I think if you're ready to go, we're going to present some ads, local classified ads that give you color that you'll never find in the Gropen Mail. Washer and dryer, dressers, bedroom sets, air conditioner, electric stove, roofing shingles, MDF and wood molding, and a steel door.
Two-piece wood china cabinet, dishes and glassware included. $1,500.
Does that include the wood china?
Certainly.
I'm just teasing. Yeah. After 40 years of collecting Nova Scotia quality country furniture and folk art, they're downsizing, selling three ships, dioramas, paintings by Maude Lewis, Joe Norris, L. Maher, and C.F. Freem. And if you'd like more information, call Digby.
I would like more information, by the way. Churchyard sale and barbecue, Saturday and Sunday, noon to 3 p.m., rain or shine, St. Martin's Anglican Church Hall, Martins River. Proceeds to St. Martin's Church.
Paying highest prices for gold and silver coins. You should be reading this one. Paper money. Do we have paper money anymore? Everything's plastic. Yeah. Stamps, pocket watches, war metal, scrap gold and silver. Chester area.
Wheel bearing and hub assembly for a 2002 Ford Ranger, never used, $125. Oak china cabinet, 80 inches tall, 45 inches wide, and 17 inches deep, $375.
This is something you would like. I had one of these. Wow. Can't believe it. 1966 Ford Mustang Coupe. Now, some people they think of the coupe as the regular coupe. I think of it as the fastback, which is what I had.
Yeah, beautiful.
But anyway, they're saying Ford Mustang Coupe, 289 V8 automatic, and that's exactly what I had too, good condition, and need some work. They don't say what, but $11,500 or best offer only serious inquiries.
Wow. Yard sale in the garden of Fairmount Street with tables full of interesting stuff gathered over years. Antiques, vintage decor, china, decoys, tins, bottles, fabrics, beautiful books, music, original art, collectibles. The gate opens at 8 a.m. See you Saturday or Sunday.
David P. Stevens, you probably get this all the time, and it's not a simple answer, but what is folk art?
No, it's not a simple answer. My friend Chris Huntington often says that it's many things to many people, which is kind of a cop-out in a way.
That was my second question. You know, I was going to ask you how you hooked up with Chris, but go ahead.
And you know, sometimes that's a cop-out answer, right? Because that just leaves it open-ended. But in the end, for me, that's the way it should be. It should be open-ended.
Now, they're misnomers, because some people think that means, number one, they're not trained, they haven't been to art school. Number two, that they are probably amateurs and doing it on the side, not full-time, not professionally, not selling in galleries, selling out of the back shed. The lines are blurred, and I think the public gets confused even when they go to a show of folk art. And some serious artists, I would guess, stick up their nose and say, folk art, that's just that toy stuff.
Yeah, that's true sometimes, but Picasso loved folk art. He loved primitive art. Mm-hmm. And he saw value in that, and not just a dollar value, but an intrinsic value in it. And so that's what we kind of have to see today, is that it's beyond just the dollar amount, or, you know, what a Maude Lewis sells for today, as opposed to what people purchased them for back in 1965 or what have you. You know, and then the work that's created today, some of it may be more leaning towards craft, some of it may be leaning more towards a flea market item or what have you. But, you know, if that personal artistic expression is in there, and if it draws an emotional response from the viewer, then it's something.
Is it also the test of time that will determine the quality and how it lasts?
I believe so, yeah. And many factors, again, because it's the vocabulary of the maker. We got to consider the maker. And like Daniel Lanois' song, The Maker, you know, we often speak of a maker. So a person that makes a nice loaf of bread can be a folk artist.
How did you meet the genius, Chris Huntington?
Oh, wow. Another long story.
We'll do it in the next segment. You have suggested a song that means something to you by Phil Lee, the Tater Bug?
Yeah.
Rag,
yeah.
What is that?
Well, Phil Lee's a really interesting character. He's 70 years old. He's about 5 foot tall, 120 pounds, balding, but he still maintains his youth. He has long hair that hangs down below his bandana, and he puts on his cowboy hat, and he looks like he's 20 years old. And he claims to have taught Bob Dylan everything he doesn't know. And I believe that. But the song is about kind of accepting where we are at our, you know, as we start to age, and sort of accepting that things aren't quite the way they were, or maybe aren't quite the way we thought they were or thought they would turn out to be. So it's a lot of kind of jazz undertones to it and bluesy undertones, but it's a really nice song.
I used to know. I embraced it like a fiend. Now I just lay around this old hotel, reading Life magazine. I wake up in the morning, I shake like a leaf. When I stand on a street corner, I look like a thief. Oh, I'm getting by the skin of my teeth. I lost my sense of direction. Maybe I just lost my touch. I used to be my own best friend, but I got to hanging around myself too much. I knew it wouldn't be easy. Somebody might have told me how rough it would get. Somebody might have let me down easy. With a kind-hearted word, and it hasn't happened yet. I read a few books about a few guys. They were losers from the start. They rambled the earth from end to end, but they never did lose their heart. Ah, but me, I go to bed and I don't sleep too good. I'm hanging by a thread because I, I'm hanging by a thread because I sold out cheap. You know I'd run away, but I'm in too deep.
Phil Lee, that voice kind of sounds like it's well lived in. You've been around.
For certain, yeah.
Like Freddie Neil, you got the last word.
Hello in Bedeck, in beautiful Cape Breton, Eastern Passage, looking across the water to Atlantic Canada's largest city, Halifax, and to Shelburne, that is one of the most beautiful and historic waterfronts lining the harbor. This is the Blue Nose Opera House Radio Network.
David P. Stevens, artist, the sweat is just pouring off your brow because we're putting you to work. And I'm going to switch the tables now. You're going to introduce the first song of this segment. Time is just racing by. It's too easy, too good. You brought in the Mighty Oak String Band, the song Dixie Hoedown. Kind of made me curious as to why. What does that resonate inside David P. Stevens?
Well, I first learned that from Andrew Russell, who was the front man for the Jarvis Benoit Quartet. Mm-hmm. And I learned that on mandolin. And I just loved all those guys and that kind of down-home music. And, of course, my great friend Greg Sim is in the Mighty Oaks now, and then he jumps in there and plays along with Gordon Stobie and Skip Holmes. And
yeah, that's
so
great.
On. So, yeah, fantastic. Thank you.
Mighty Oak String Band, Dixie Hoedown. Great, great number. Thank you for bringing that in.
Yeah, and the late, great Walter Jakeman on stand-up bass, too.
Chris Huntington is a brilliant fellow who did so much to promote Nova Scotia folk art and really almost would be the father of it, not in necessarily creating it, but locating it, going down dirt roads to find the artists and their work, and then promoting it when nobody else would take it seriously. How did you meet Chris Huntington?
My friend Lauren Reed and I, we had a studio gallery in Shetty Camp, and it's kind of an interesting story how Lauren and I met up, because we first met in 1977 in basic training in Cornwallis, and then we went our separate ways, and mm-hmm. then years later we met in Shetty Camp. So anyway, Chris Huntington contacted us because he knew what we were up to, and he wanted to come down and see us and talk to us about what we were doing and kind of put, you know, his ideas with our ideas and see what came out of it. So,
were the two of you the founders of the Nova Scotia Folk Art Festival as we know it today?
Lauren Reed and I and Chris Huntington were sitting around Chris Huntington's table in Lower Kingsburg.
Yeah,
and one night, and just kind of talking about the folk artists and their significance and so on, and what we could do to kind of bring them all together. And Chris just said, "That's it. We're going to have a festival, and we're going to call it the Nova Scotia Folk Art Festival and Picnic." And the idea initially was just to bring these artists together in one location so they could get to meet one another, to know there's actually somebody else out there across this province doing something like they were doing.
And they did that up in Blockhouse, I think.
That was in Blockhouse.
Where they launched it.
Yeah.
And your art is so different. I know it pretty well, but I wouldn't know how to describe it over the radio. Do you have any sense how you'd have a go at it? From cars to, if you don't mind my saying, the Joe Norris brilliant color, you're not afraid to use primary colors.
No, not at all.
A couple of nudes here and there.
Yeah.
And just this whimsical approach to it that you don't find in any other, it's so unique in any other folk art or art.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. Yeah. And at the first festival, the interesting thing was we often talk about outsider art and those people that are outside the mainstream. Mm-hmm. And at the first festival, myself and Lauren Reed and Kyle Jackson, we were literally on the periphery. We were located on the periphery of the festival. And I've always felt that that's where we were, that's where we belonged. And that's where we kind of stayed. We had an association with the folk artists, but I don't think we ever really melded into that with them, into that genre.
Was it Chris Huntington who pulled it together and kept it going?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And your art, you've even done it on automobiles.
Certainly.
Parts of cars.
Car parts, and actual cars, art cars, yeah.
Where are you going with it?
Well, I have taken one art car to Houston for the Houston International Festival. There's a huge art car parade associated with the International Festival, and I drove in that piece of art that I created, mobile piece of art, drove it to Houston and back.
And you're based out of
Sydney proper, yeah.
All right. Yeah. And how do people find you?
Anywhere you like to
David
find me.
David P. Stevens.
Google me, you'll find me, yeah.
Got a little story for you if I can. I'll try to make it quick. Dan Hill, Toronto. Got a call from my buddy, going to drop a name if I can, or two. Leona Boyd saying, "It's been unusually warm this April. Can you come over and have a barbecue with us outside, lower level?" I said, "Sure, big house overlooking Lake Ontario." Got there. Right behind me, this big Mercedes pulled up, held the door for them. They didn't say a word, not even a thank you. Dressed in casual but designer clothes, probably down to their sweat socks. Perfect skin. You know, the people that walk around with these early tans and perfect skin. Get to the lower level. Barbecue is on. We're having dinner. Dan Hill is sitting opposite me. We're having a great time talking music. That 32 different versions of Sometimes When We Touch and 200 cover versions of the song, 32 different languages. And then this guy, this very slick lawyer with the perfect skin and the designer clothing sitting next to me, looks over at Dan and says, "Dan, you have a most amazing tan I've ever seen in April. What's your secret?" And Dan looks at me and winks and then looks at this guy and says, "I have no secret, but it helps to have a black father." The lawyer and his slick wife never had said another word the rest of the evening.
Wow.
So that's my story for you to trade off. The song is Carmelia, and this is Dan Hill.
Seems there's always some tragedy that's tearing at our precious world, which sometimes we could just lighten up. Let's take a look around us. Turn off the TV. Oh, let's open our eyes. Look out at the stars in the sky. Carmelia, Carmelia.
Carmelia, Dan Hill. Although it's been a really quick 1 hour, like sometimes when we touch, that means we're going to have to invite you back.
Certainly.
And do it again when you're in town.
Love to.
Would you?
Yeah.
And we can learn more about your art and what inspires you. David P. Stevens.
Yeah.
So thanks to you and your family, and I hope you had a great Nova Scotia Folk Art Show this year and that the year ahead will be just what you're looking for. This show is podcast number 81 on our website, bluenoseoperahouse.ca, where you can hear it again or any of our other shows, see pictures, blogs, read bios, and maybe there'll be a few more names dropped. Who knows? I'm Paul Kellogg, along with David P. Stevens, saying a special hello to all our ships at sea and Cape Islanders inshore. Be home soon. Now, don't touch that dial.